Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Therese with Angel Coaches, and I also have a friend of mine, Sabrina, who's going to be talking tonight and sharing. And we're excited because this is her. She's written a great ebook that's going to be available in the next couple of weeks, and it's all about love and unconditional love. And man, I don't like to put conditions on my love. But I have a philosophy, Sabrina. I'm going to introduce you in a second. You can never be too rich, too thin, too much love, or too much money. That's a philosophy that I live by. So anyway, she's going to be sharing with us what, you know, about unconditional love, how we can all have it in our lives, her own journey. Because everyone, I always say that everyone has a great Cinderella story on how they come to realize what really is important. You know, and so I'm excited about talking to her about it tonight. And her journey is an amazing one. Anyway, but before we get started with Sabrina, we're also going to talk about Archangel Shamuel and Ascended Master Angus, because tonight is Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's to everybody that's listening in. I know that some people will be downloading the show later because Sabrina, I know you're married, and some of the people are logged in too as well. But you're married, and I don't have a significant other, so we're going to be doing the show for everybody else that says they want to get a significant other, because you're going to show them some things that they can do first for themselves and then for other people. So, but welcome, Sabrina. I'm so glad that you're on Angel Coaches. I know you've given comments before, and I know that you have studied a lot, read a lot, prepared a lot. I know that you are a student of the Course in Miracles, and I know that you're metaphysical and you're writing. How did you get started? How did you become the love guru that you are?
I'd first like to say Leo Biscaglia. The late Leo Biscaglia. He died a few years ago, but he was known as the Love Doctor. And back when I was a teenager, I was turned on to his books. And how I got turned on to all this, it goes back to my youth even, but when I was in a youth group in church as a teenager, we had, we called ourselves the Agape Warriors, which agape basically means unconditional love. And that's how I was first turned on to unconditional love, was way back when, and I'm now in my mid-40s. And then back in October of 2009, my dad died, and then a few days later, a good friend of mine died also. And on our way home, we live in Kansas, and my parents had lived in Ohio. It's a, you know, 12 to 14-hour drive, roughly. On that ride home after my dad's funeral, I noticed hawks, like, sitting on poles or trees, but I counted at least 8 along the way, and they were seriously just watching us. It was just the most bizarre thing. Oh. And so whenever I got home, I looked up animal totems and, you know, what the hawk represents, and that goes into a whole different thing, but it was during that ride home that we saw those hawks. But I also, I'm very intuitive and empathic. And one of the things that kept going through my mind is that I needed to pick up where Leo Biscaglia left off. And I thought, yeah, right. I mean, that's like filling some major shoes, if you ask me. But anyway, needless to say, I didn't jump on it right away because that was back in 2009. But it's been something that's just kind of been flowing through my life, pushing me ever towards that. And then with meeting Therese and, you know, going through all this, these different things that I've gone through in the past few years, she really encouraged me to write. And I know I'm a good writer. It's just that sometimes, well, I'll tell you what kind of hindered me. Fear, a lot of different fears, fear of success, fear of failure, fear of who gives a crap what I have to say, because so often, you know, we put our sights on the celebrities and things like that. We want to hear what they have to say, but who cares about a housewife from Kansas? So it was also a growth process, But I mean, I'm not asking for pity.
Hold on a second. I got to ask you this. What did you say from Kansas? That was cute. What was that that you said? We pay attention to celebrities. By the way, in the background now, I've got E! Entertainment on, or E! News on. I'm not listening to it. But what did you say you were from Kansas, though? Because I know you live in Arizona now. But you said, who were you? What did you call yourself? That was cute. I just want to make sure I heard that right.
No, I still live in Kansas. I said a housewife from Kansas.
Housewife, okay. No, you're a great, great, great love guru from Kansas. Okay, that's what I always say.
There you go. Hey, whatever works. But then in the past year, during the year of 2012, was a very transformative year. A friend of, it's just curious how things all work out, but this woman who had worked with my husband had gotten laid off. And she and I struck up a very, very temporary friendship, but it was intense so far as she was actually having acupuncture done. And I said, well, hot damn, I've always wanted to do acupuncture. Where is this acupuncturist at? And lo and behold, she's less than a mile from my house, the acupuncturist, okay? And I didn't even know she was there. So Pat had taken me down and introduced me. And I got to meet Dr. Kitty, and I began having acupuncture sessions. Now, interestingly enough, during these sessions, she would insert the needles and put on some real nice meditative music. And then as she would leave the room, she would say, just love yourself. Just love yourself. Okay, so that was one person, all right? And then a couple months later, I also began working out, and that's another story, but I began working out more intensely at my health club, and I had a wonderful trainer named Jamie, and she constantly said, just love yourself, just love yourself. So I'm thinking, I think I'm being given a message here, a pretty direct message at that. And there was someone else, and I can't remember, but it was at least three people within this past year who encouraged me to just love myself more. And the thing about, well, real quick about the working out part is we had had I have three sons. I never had any daughters, but we hosted a foreign exchange student back in 2004. And she's from Germany, and her name's Lisa. She's a beautiful, beautiful girl. And she came to stay with us, back in 2004, and then she also visited us a couple different times, and the most recent time was back in November of 2011. And at the time, I was weighing in around 265, 270, and she made me promise, because she loves to work out. And we went to the gym together, and she said, promise me that you'll lose weight, that you'll love yourself more. So I guess maybe she was the first one that said it. Love yourself more and take care of your body. And I made her a promise. And during this past year, I've lost about 45 to 50 pounds. And at this time, I have three wonderful trainers who I train with on generally Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I work out, do a lot of cardio and stuff other times. But I just love having my trainers because, as I say, and this is seriously honest to God, when I work out and I start sweating, well, I think, well, I broke a sweat, I'm done. When I work out with my trainers, when I start sweating, well, honey, we're just beginning. And so they really helped me to kick my butt, you know? So it's just been a wonderful experience all around. And one of my trainers, Carissa, may be on this phone call, I'm not for sure, but she is a wonderful inspiration to me. And I just told her today, I know one of the reasons why you're in my life is to teach me about releasing control, because I've been called a control freak, and I always say I don't see myself as a control freak, but Carissa, she nodded her head, you are. So anyway, she's very advanced, and I believe that's one of the reasons she's in my life is to teach me how to just gently release control, love and accept, and go with the flow.
That's beautiful. Now, I know that you're writing a book, and we're going to talk about that at the end of the show, or, you know, like you put a plug in there for you. but you believe in angels, and you're extremely psychic. I've been seeing angels since I was three. And how have you, do you have an angel experience that you have that showed you a path to get on or the next step to take or to help you write this book? Do you have any stories like that? Because people want to know, you know, because if they see that you've had angel experiences, then they have. And I know that you have, Sabrina, but share it in your own words, something that you knew it was your angel talking to you and putting you on your path or helping you find your path. Is that okay to ask?
Oh, yeah, but first I guess I'll begin with this as well, because I was just reading something today that had been written decades ago, but it was about opening the third eye, the pineal gland, I think is how you say it, or pineal. Anyway, it was saying that sometimes people need to actually, that actually when you're born it's very soft and pliable, but as we grow older it kind of hardens up. And it takes a lot of, sometimes a lot of love to really open it fully, or sometimes an accident, getting hit on the head or something kind of helps to open it. You may have heard other stories of people who, you know, have become more psychic and stuff because of a certain, you know, accident. Well, actually, and this, you know, came as news to me in a sense because I just read it today, but when I was 4 years old, I had been watching the Summer Olympics and the diving competitions, and I dove out of bed and cracked open the bridge of my nose and had to get stitches. But I have been psychic and very empathic all my life. I mean, that's pretty much all my life at 4 years old. And I just realized that maybe that's kind of what opened the door for me, because I have three sisters and they don't have the gifts that I have, or at least they don't utilize them. And to compound that, I will say this, as a child, specifically between the ages of 4 and 6 and a little thereafter, but mostly between the ages of 4 and 6, I was a handful and my parents didn't know any other way of controlling me than to beat me. And when I say beat, I mean pants down, belt on the bottom. And I recently also found out something about that was that a lot of people who are very empathic went through childhood traumas. And what helped to make them more empathic was they had a heightened sense about them,
right?
You know, kind of developing their sixth sense or seventh sense or whatever to, you know, to be aware of how other people are coming at them, or, you know, when danger may occur. So I'm not saying that it's, you know, was an enjoyable experience, but what I'm saying is I do believe it helped me. You know, it was there for my better good, all in all, because it's made me who I am today. The only thing I do have to say about that really kind of scarred me was my dad couldn't stand to see me cry, and so he would growl at me to dry it up before he really gave me something to cry about. And if I didn't stifle my tears at that moment, exactly that moment, I would get beaten even worse. So I learned how to hold things in. And quite honestly, I think that also has led to, you know, my weight problem. I held a lot of things in.
You know what, people, I get you. I think whether it's 5 pounds or 500 pounds or whatever it is, people hide their fears behind their weight. And I get you on that. But what you've done is you've addressed it, and now you're becoming lean, and you've seen your picture. You're absolutely beautiful, and we all love you because you add a lot to Angel Coaches. Let me ask you a question. It sounds like you learned, most of the time I think we learn by contrast or through trials, we either get really angry and bitter, or we find a way to release it all and find a sense of peace about ourselves. our worthiness, and also connecting with the other side, your angels, your higher power, whoever you believe in. What do you think in your book? And I know it's not a long book, but it's really beautiful. And I have to tell you something, guys. I get a lot of books sent to me, or people send me things, and we've got some great writers at Angel Coaches. But it has been in the past few months that I've gotten some great works, and this is one of them. She's got a beautiful book. But let me ask you a question. In your experience, when you're talking to someone, because I know you're working with people and doing sessions with them, and you're the love guru, and you walk the path yourself, so therefore you're able to share your knowledge. What holds people back from loving themselves, or do they even realize it? How do you help them realize that there is such thing as unconditional love, and it starts with them? Can you give us like two or three things that you do, or ask them, or you feel, or what do you do? How do you do that? Or am I asking you a question that's like, Tariq, I don't want to answer that one. That's okay, too, if you don't want to answer something.
No, but this is good. This is good. Fear is a major component. Another thing is it seems that the majority of us in society really give our power away without even realizing that we're giving our power away. And I could go on about that one. That's a big one. I'll just give a real brief one about this, okay? So far as my realizing that I was giving my power away, I was on several different medications over the course of about 12 years. Why? Because I trusted everything to my doctor. I trusted that she knew what she was doing when she prescribed this, that, or the other. Until finally, back in 2004, or 2005, one of the, I think 2004, I literally was about dead. Excuse me. I had like no energy whatsoever. And whenever I looked up the symptoms and stuff on the computer, because I'm really good at doing that anymore too, I had recently been put on a new cholesterol-lowering medication. And whenever I looked it up, it said something about may cause renal failure. And the more I read up on renal failure, I'm like, aha, it's affecting my kidneys, and that's why I have no energy. So it was that night, that exact night, that I said, the hell with all this. I'm going off of everything except for my insulin, which, you know, because I am diabetic and I needed to, you know, I needed it. But I pretty much went off of everything. And I think at the time it must have been probably six different medications. I don't recall exactly. But within 24 hours, and I am not kidding, I felt so much better, and I had energy, and I felt great, and life just got better after that. And so I started on a quest of researching about more natural alternatives to things, and anything but exercise. I mean, I did go to the gym, but it was more just kind of, you know, like I say, if I broke a sweat, I was done. But you know, I really, really tried anything but exercise. And I've come to realize exercise is very, very important, because it also helps to unblock energy and helps us to, you know, just release the good hormones, the endorphins and things like that. So it is very important. It's not just the diet, but the exercise go hand in hand. But that's where I felt, whenever I look back on it, that's whenever I started taking my power back. So I'm not going to say it was like, you know, oh, bam, I just like took all my power back. It was a gradual process. It was decisions that I made for myself,
right,
instead of having my doctor make them. And so I'm not saying that everybody should go off their medications, okay? It's not that.
Right.
It's do what your inner voice, what your guide you to do is how I feel about it. And, you know, you might want to discuss some things with your doctor, but I'm telling you what, that was my story, and I've taken my power back.
That's good.
And I can tell you,
we've got a question.
Okay.
There you go. I know. You guys, she works with me every week, and we have a good time working together and a lot of epiphanies. But you said something that people hold us back from loving ourselves is fear. And really taking our power and standing on our own 2 feet. And I agree with you on that because I'm a big fan of that. When you say, and it doesn't mean that you have to give up the fear and you say, okay, I'm not going to be afraid or I'm afraid now, how do I get away from the fear? You're putting your intention to just say, hey, I'm going to release this fear. I'm going to stand on my own 2 feet. I'm going to take my power back. Do you feel like that's a big part of it right there to do that? Because it sounds like when you're sharing your story now, that's what you did. You did the research, then you made some choices. And I know that you go to your doctor. I know that you do acupuncture. I know you work out. But you said, this medication isn't working for me. I've got to find another alternative. And that's what you did, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, that. And I did have a brief story about one of my sisters that it may speak to someone out there. I don't know. But anyway, recently, within the past month or so, she lives in Ohio. I live in Kansas, so I don't see her very often. But I was talking to her, and she was extremely suicidal. And she was sick of being strong. She was sick of this, sick of that, sick of everything. And her husband had left her a year ago, roughly. I mean, just up and left her, okay? Like, she doesn't really know where he's at. And all that she wanted was for him to love her, to come back, to love her, which anybody can say, yeah, you know, that makes sense. You know, your husband, you want him to love you. And I said, Jenny, I said, why don't you try loving yourself more? And no, it's not that. And she doesn't understand what that means. And she wanted to just wallow in self-pity, honestly. And she'd put on, honestly, too, she'd put on about 70 pounds in the past year since he up and left her. And I was just kind of reminding her, you know, you've been showing yourself how much that you can't stand yourself. You know, why not just do a little at a time? Why don't you go for a walk? Well, I can't because of my fibromyalgia and I hurt. And because of the depression, I hurt. And, you know, she had a million different reasons. I go, okay, if you can't walk, then what about laying in bed and stretching out? You know, just stretch, just, you know,
right,
move something.
All these are some ways.
I believe she had excuses. Right, right. I believe she had excuses about that, but it was just craziness. So I suggested, why not, when you wake up, I said, what do you do when you wake up? Oh, I turn on the TV. And I said, well, how about instead of turning on the TV, you get out a piece of paper and a pen and write down what you're grateful for. I said, you could just be grateful that the sun rose. You could be grateful that the toilet didn't back up, you know, whatever. But take the time and write your gratitude list first thing. And she was against that as well. Well, why can't I just sit in front of the TV and be grateful? And I said, well, because, you know, it's like you're trying to escape by watching TV. And I'm trying to bring you back to the present moment, to the here and now, by actually concentrating on what you're writing and being grateful for. That's the only thing. And I said, and it only takes you 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, it's not all that big of a deal, but it may help you in many ways. So anyway, what I'm going to say is it was her problem, not mine. Of course, I prayed for her, and I sent her positive energy. And the key thing that really got me, she was saying how lonely and how unloved she felt. And I said, well, you know, I love you. Oh, I know you love me, and I know Mom loves me, and I know my other sisters love me. I know all that. I know it. You're supposed to. Oh, well, talk about a little bit of ungratefulness there, okay? I'm like, okay. So I released it because it's honestly, it's not my problem. I'm not going to take it on, but I do feel for her. So I feel I planted the seeds. It was up to her and God as to what happened next. And Well, a couple weeks later, I called my mom.
Oh, hold on one second. I want to go back because I want to be really clear about this because you say a couple of things here. First of all, you know, your sister, you said it's great to pray for them and to love them, but it, you know, to take on their problem and to make it your own is not being the best you can possibly be for yourself. Okay, I get that, and
correct.
I agree with you on that. Okay, the second thing you said, a couple of things that you said to love yourself more. Exercise is key, all right? Stretching out is another thing. I know in your book you listed about 10 or 12 different things that you can do to love yourself and to find your center. Meditation is one. A gratitude list is amazing because it's not only about loving yourself, it's about elevating your vibration to love yourself, right? And to,
exactly.
to connect.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. And when you called your mom, what did your mom say about your sister? Was she happy? You guys both love her, but you've distanced yourself from her, and that's hard to do. We've got a question, so I want you to, when we come back, you can tell me what your mom said. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Let's get this a question. Hi, this is Tari. This is Tari and Sabrina. Hey, this is, you have a question? Okay, hello. I'm talking to 917 area code. So if you're here, we can't hear you. You'll have to call back, but we'll be glad to take your question. Okay, so you're teaching your family how to react and to not take on problems. You're teaching others. You're working on, you've got a website or a community page where you're posting things and having people post things. Your book is all about that. But if your mom, are you teaching her not to make this problem her own? Is that how you're doing it? Have you done that?
Well, I think she's pretty good about that. But what I had asked her how Jenny was doing, and she said, well, she started working out, and she's swimming, and she says she is smiling a little bit more.
That's wonderful.
I was like, well, praise God on that. Yeah, and the other thing I do want to mention as well, my husband and I had taken a trip back to Ohio and New Jersey to see our families back in November. And the funny thing about this is we had actually made plans to go in September, but I ended up messing up my leg and had to be, you know, like in a walking cast for a few weeks. And so then we thought, well, the end of October we'll go. Well, during that time, I had taken off the cast. I was feeling better, and I went out to get the mail. I come back in looking at the mail, and I trip over one of my dogs, and I re-entered my leg. And so then we're like, well, screw the end of October. We're not going to make it then because I was back in my walking cast. And so we finally ended up going in November around Thanksgiving to go out and visit. Now, the purpose of me telling this is, apparently, looking back, I really wasn't ready. Because once we got out there, my inner voice whispered to me, my intuition basically whispered to me, this is a test. And, you know, this is a test. And I was like, okay. And I realized what it was about. And it really was about unconditional love. Because I don't know about you, Tari, but when you sometimes whenever you're away from everything, you know, the old saying, you can't see the forest for the trees, so you're not in the thick of it, so you're better able to see the issues at a distance. And
right.
For 20-something years, we would go back, and I'm not trying to say that I answered everybody's problems or anything, but I ended up addressing them because I could see the issues for what they were, and I would go out and I would try to change things. I would try to help. Honestly, that's how I felt, was I would just try to help. And 9 times out of 10, sometimes 10 times out of 10, it always backfired. Okay, you know, because the best intentions, and that's like the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Sorry about getting a little cliche here, but those were my intentions. Well, this time around, by the time that I did actually make it out there, I was in a better place for myself so far as unconditional self-love as well as unconditional love for others. And so whenever I was told intuitively that this was a test, I was like, I get it, because my mom tried to throw crap at me, my sister tried to throw crap at me, and I would just kind of duck and cover instead of addressing the issues that they were throwing at me. And I would listen to them politely, and I would just say, you know what? I would just tell them I've been learning more and more about unconditional love, and I think that, you know, it would be a good thing to love yourself more. And instead of addressing the problem or what they consider the problem was,
right,
that was my answer. And I'm telling you, just by accepting where they're at, how they are, not trying to change a darn thing, there was so much less stress on me. I actually enjoyed that visit. I mean, it was awesome. So, yeah.
That's a great point, by the way. I know that, you know, a lot of us, good point. I want to reiterate that again. A lot of times when we as we feel like that we've got to fix everybody, but in part of our soul agreement, we choose our families and we choose the circumstances. So it really wasn't about their lesson. They have their own lessons. It was really about your lesson and loving yourself and not trying to get involved and just saying, hey, you know what? I need peace and quiet, and you took it. Whatever havoc or chaos was going on around you, you didn't buy into that. Now, my question to you is, and great point, by the way, do you meditate? Do you recommend meditation for people? Because you are the love guru. Meditation, is that something that you do? I know you said exercise is good for this. Eating, diet is great because foods really affect how you feel. And I know that you do acupuncture, which is also something else. But how about meditation? Do you do meditation? Do you agree with that?
I meditate almost daily. I mean, I might miss a day or two here and there, but pretty much daily. And I have found some excellent CDs by a Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, and they address the theta, delta, beta, gamma, different brain waves and stuff like that. And they can help you to be, you know, more creative, more relaxed, and things like that. I've also got other things that I keep on going back to Dr. Jeffrey Thompson stuff.
Okay,
they
Dr. Jeffrey Thompson. There you go. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had two people say, okay, we want to hear our angel story and about loving yourself. And I know that your angels loved you so much they got you out of bed and woke you up. And share that story.
Oh.
That's a great angel story. So
I love
tell
this
us about
one,
that
yeah.
Story.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
It was about a couple of years ago. I had gone to bed. I was having a dream. I don't remember the dream per se, but I remember hearing in my dream, your blood sugar's crashing, your blood sugar's crashing. Test your blood sugar. Your blood sugar's crashing. I mean, this was part of my dream, kind of like a doorbell ringing or something off in the distance, but it was a voice in my head telling me to check my blood sugar. And so anyway, I woke up finally, and I laid there, and I assessed myself, and I didn't have any racing heart or sweaty, I know, kind of a cold sweat that I get, things like that. There's certain symptoms, I guess, that come along with, you know, low blood sugar. And I didn't experience any of them. And the other thing is our room is an addition onto our house, so we don't get a lot of heat back there, and it was in the wintertime. And I was all snuggled warm in bed, and I sure did not want to get out and check my blood sugar if I didn't have to, because I was warm. And so I snuggled even deeper, and I closed my eyes again, and that voice in my head says, your blood sugar's crashing, test your blood sugar now. And I, again, assessed the situation, and I'm thinking, I'm just tired. I just need to go back to sleep. So I started to go back to sleep. A few minutes later, the voice came back. But it was not mean. I want to say that. It was never mean. But, boy, was it loud this time. Check your blood sugar now. I sat up in bed and I threw the covers back and I said, literally, if it will shut you up. Okay? And I tested my blood sugar and it was in the 50s and it should be between 80 and 120. And so, yes, it was crashing. I apologized. I said, I am so sorry for being rude. I am so sorry. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I went out and, you know, had some, a little something to eat, a little something to drink, and all was good. But
I told
Tariq about this, yeah, since she understands because she's had experiences similarly. But I said, what do you think that was? And what did you say?
That was your guardian angel there getting you up out of bed saying, hey, wake on up, dear girl. So, you know, and paying attention to you. Here's a question for you. Okay, great story, by the way, because two people say, I want to hear your angel story. And you know, what I love about the angels is they talk to you so direct, and it's a message of love, even when it was firm. You know what I mean? So you got that firm message there. We all can get it. And really, to hear the messages from the angels, I have to share this with you, and I know you and I have talked about this on numerous occasions. You really, really have to be open to listening and come from, you know, and come from a place of love. And the first place of love is for yourself. And I'm going to talk about some of the angels with that too as well, but that we can ascended masters and angels that help us with the relationship with our soulmates, twin flames, and companion soulmates, but most of all with ourselves. You, before I do that, though, you have a website or a community Facebook page. What is your hope with that community Facebook page? What do you envision with that, Sabrina? What would you like to see happen with that?
I want to put out some good thoughts, good stories, and a lot of times I copy and paste from other pages that have very uplifting, you know, little snippets or quotes or whatever. And sometimes I'll write my own things, but it's just the hope that it reaches people and that they'll be more kinder and loving. And, you know, because so often people get, oh, especially, you know, this past election season, so many people get so wrapped up in who's right and who's wrong and what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, they get to defending all these different points that they have. And quite honestly, I'm not a political person, and I'm like, whatever. And so that was kind of what geared me to doing this page, and it's called Go Where It Takes You. It's on Facebook, and it comes from a friend of mine had emailed me a quote, and it goes something like, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. And then she wrote, go where
that's
it takes
beautiful.
You. Yeah. And
so
I just thought that was really
that's
cool.
How you, we don't, say that again. That's a great quote. We don't go where, say it again. That's beautiful. I love that.
We don't,
thank you, by the way.
We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are.
That's cool. I like that. We don't go see things.
So if you're loving and kind, you'll see things loving and kind. If you are a very spiteful and hateful person, you might see a person who's, you know, spiteful and hateful. And speaking of which, I have four dogs, and one of my favorites is a little corgi Sheltie mix, and she is just precious, and that's all that she offers is just, they're all very loving dogs, but she's just especially expressive with her eyes and stuff. And at the vet, they wanted to adopt her because she was so friendly. She would just go up and greet people and wag her tail, you know. And she's not vicious at all. And I really identify with my dog, okay? Her name's Jessie.
That's beautiful. No, I love my dog, Breeze, and she's amazing. Oh, you know, and dogs, I love them because they have unconditional love. They don't care what you look like, when's the last time you had a shower. Hopefully most of us take a shower every day. But what they do is they love you unconditionally. Greatest teachers ever. I agree with you on that. The other thing is, and then I'm going to talk about the angels. You have your book goes into a lot of exercises, self-help exercises to learn unconditional love, not only for yourself, but for others. And what's the name of your ebook? And it's going to be up and running, and they're going to be able to find it on Amazon and Angel Coaches and a lot of other places. But what's the name of your ebook? I'm putting you on the spot. I'm sorry if I am. So.
You are putting me on the spot because I just realized I never really named it. I mean, I named it Unconditional Love. I named it Unconditional Love so far as where I could find it in my document folder. But I don't really intend on.
Cute.
I don't know. I need to figure out an actual, name for it, I guess. But
well, I have to tell you, the angels are sitting there talking to me. And they go, ask her. And I'm like sitting there going, I think that's what I thought it was. And so that it's going to be a good one. In the next few weeks or so, she's going to have it on Amazon, and she's also going to have it. On Angel Coaches, because we're creating a whole site for people to put their spiritual work on. And I know Corrine is working on helping a whole sector of population sector. I don't know how you say that, where everyone really can make a difference. But Angel Coaches, it's going to start there, and it's going to be on Amazon. And I'm super excited about it because I know you've worked hard on it. But what I like about your book, it gives you like real life stuff that you can do. Not first you harness a unicorn and then you go up to the clouds and then you can love yourself. I mean, it's real stuff, and I appreciate that.
Take a bubble bath. Immerse yourself in a bubble bath and just relax and enjoy. Love yourself.
Right, and you do, yeah, exactly. And the one thing I love about it, guys, Go Where It Takes You is facebook.com/GoWhereItTakesYou. What I notice about the post on there is that she's not only posting, but other people are as well. So it's really a support page where everybody can learn and enjoy and give. We all give to each other, and that's really important there. So I'm going to talk, you've got your little angels there that you've talked about. I remember you've got a strong guardian angel. Hold on one second. You got a strong guardian angel that works with you. But one of the things that I love, if somebody doesn't have a guardian angel that can that they feel around them, what they can do is look for synchronicity. Because my daughter and I were speaking about this today, and I know you do this as well, Sabrina, because we were talking about it earlier, about like things happen for a reason, and you get these little signs, and you get and you see it on the outside. For instance, I know that she loves working with makeup and color. And so she was telling, she goes, I told you that what color you were. And then I got confirmation that I was on the right path by when you went to your hairstylist, he told you what color you were. And I was like, you're right. And so we all have little, medium or big synchronicity events that happen. And the angels are really a part of that. And all you can do, I know that you're working with your angels and with meditation and you're writing meditations. But one of the things that you guys can do that are listening, and Sabrina and I talked about it earlier, is look at the synchronicity in the events that are happening around you. That will usually show you if you're on your right path, okay, whether it's love, whether it's relationship issues or relationships, or whether it is career or life purpose, okay? So look for that. But Archangel Zebuel and Archangel Angus, the Ascended Master of Soulmate Twin Flame Relationships, I love them. They are amazing. And our new book, Di and I have written together, you can find it on Amazon, is You Mean There's a Law That Says He Has to Be Attracted to Me? We give a lot of prayers and mantras in there about how to work with the angels and connect with them. And I know that Sabrina is doing the same thing with her own work and writing things, and beautiful writer that she is. And I think I'm a great writer. And one reason why I'm a great writer is because Diane co-wrote this book with me. But what I want to share with you guys is to connect with them, really the only thing, I'll give you a prayer that they actually channeled to me, and I love it, and it really resonated with me as well. So I put it in the book, and also my daughter and I meditate together every week, and so she and I have we say it, and if you're looking for a soulmate, twin flame, twin soul, soulmate relationship, these prayers will really, really help you. And so I'm going to share them with you right now. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to find it. And my computer just went down, so give me a second here. And don't you hate that? Sabrina, you've had that happen before where your computer goes down. You're like, where's that? So anyway, here it is. I know. I hate that too as well. But it's Dear Archangel Shamuel, thank you for preparing me to have my soulmate, my twin flame, come to me. Thank you for preparing me mind, body, and spirit, and thank you for answering my prayers, and thank you for preparing him or her, and I am ready and waiting, and if there is something else that I need to do or would like to do, please show me. So that one right there is for Archangel Shamuel. Angus, beautiful too as well. I love Angus. And he is a great, 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 great ascended master. When I first saw him, with blonde hair, beautiful blonde hair, and also he had like he was playing a musical instrument. And I said, these people want to know how to work with you, and I want to know how to work with you every day. So I know some of you guys, you know, it's Valentine's Day, and you're wondering, I'm by myself again, or I'd like to have a mate in my life. And we talked to you about unconditional love, which I think is so, so, so key. But one of the other things is that you can do is work with these ascended masters and archangels. And I feel that when you're working with them, if you get a white candle and like that, and also have a blue candle and work with that too as well, because blue is communication, is the throat chakra, and that, you know, and that's all about communication. And you know, and working with the throat chakra, and the white candle is all about your top chakra, and that connects you to all that is. So, what you say is you light those candles and use them for both, okay? And put it like a ceremony. It's like honoring yourself, unconditional love, and also honoring these angels and guides, okay, that are working with you this time. It's Archangel Shamuel. And then also, it's also Angus, the Ascended Master of Twin Flame, Twin Soul Relationships. So when you were working with them, with Angus, what you do is you light the candles, or Shamuel, and you could call on them both, and you say, Dear Archangel Shamuel Angus, thank you, and I'm going to give you Angus's prayer. Thank you so much for preparing me for my twin flame, twin soul. I'm asking you to send me thoughts and ideas about how I can attract him or her to me. I have a list of the qualities that I would like to share with you what I'm looking for, and then list the qualities. I want him to be this. I want her to be this way, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Go through that and be really specific about it. And I appreciate you so very much, and thank you for helping me. And that's it. That's all you've got to do. Because when you say these prayers, and when you're writing the list out, okay, because I have a friend of mine that wrote a list out, and she's getting married now, and worked with Angus and Shamuel, and such an amazing story, and we'll have her on another day, but she made the list of qualities. She read them every night before she went to bed, and every morning when she got up, she said the prayer to Archangel Shamuel and Ascended Master Angus, and now she's in the process of getting married. I think it's her second marriage, if I'm not mistaken. But it does work. But what you've got to be willing to do is do the work. And what is the work? It's just really having the faith, practicing the love, first of all, on yourself, okay, unconditional love, like the love guru here is sharing with us. And then do, you know, say the prayers. And because they really, really, really do work, that's something that I do know. And that's all I have to say about that. So it's Valentine's Day. We've been so fortunate to have Love Guru Sabrina on here, and we're going to get her work out there, so be looking for it. Sabrina, you've been wonderful. I appreciate having you here. And to all the folks that listened in, happy Valentine's Day, and enjoy your time with the first love, and that's yourself, okay? And because when you can love yourself, you can love others. So anyway, you want to say goodnight, Sabrina? So, one more thing before we say goodnight. We've got a great show on Sunday. You guys don't want to miss it. So, and then also, I'm putting some psychic development classes together. So you guys will be able to tap into those and look at those on the Angel Coaches Facebook page. And if you haven't liked our page, go to facebook.com/angelcoaches and like our page and post a comment. And go where it takes you. facebook.com/gowhereittakesyou. That's Sabrina's information. And you get all the prayers and the mantras there on the Facebook Angel Coaches page. But we got a great show on Sunday. We've got some great psychic classes, mediumship classes coming up. And Sabrina, do you want to close the show out? Tell everybody good night and have a great night. So you go ahead. Happy Valentine's Day. And Sabrina's going to do the same. So.
Good night. Thank you for having me on here. It was wonderful.
I love you. You are amazing.
Take care, everybody. I love you too, dear. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.